Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us this evening. We have another exciting program lined up for you here. So let's get right to our introductions in studio. To start off the program, we have from the Blue Mountain League, Bob Varyu, the president, statistician, PR man, and historian Tim Fisher, and of course, the co-host of the program, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, Mr. Keith.
I missed
Edward
the memo about the navy blue shirts. Yeah. Is that navy blue or black?
Black.
That's black.
Chris sent us one.
Actually, Tim is black, too.
He sent us one. Oh, you never got it.
You were out in Cedar Beach.
I'm not surprised that was not on that email list.
That's not right. You should be able to take a water glass.
He doesn't read my emails anyway. You were out at the beach somewhere.
Actually,
Allen High School, there was the beach today.
If I was at the beach, I'd be drowning right now. We were at Allen High School. The basketball tournament is underway. But much like the past tournament, this one's off to a soggy start, but they are playing basketball at Allen High School, Whitehall, and I think Salisbury's where the girls are at.
And the Iron Pigs are playing, too, because they're tweeting out, come on out to the ballpark.
Yeah. It's going
to
be a beautiful night from here on out, the way it looks.
Yeah. All right, so, Tim, you better get back there, because you're one of the parking experts there.
Well, he's like the Mount Rushmore of newspaper writers of the whole valley, maybe Pennsylvania, right?
What are you talking about?
You're
about?
On the
By
Mount
the way,
Rushmore.
We're not going to talk sports for the first time.
I'm on a bunch of Mount Rushmores, and some of them are not very good. So,
no, I'm telling you. And, Chris, I'm glad that we were able to come here. You organized this thing very well. And
thank you.
Enough of that
I'm glad
stuff.
Someone gives me something other than negative
Mount
comments
Rushmore
all the time.
And the organizer.
By the way, I have had a long history of Keith and Tim on the same shows together. We're on the radio shows together. We will not talk baseball for at least 30 minutes here because they're going to go back and forth. Well, let me try to interject here.
All right, I'll leave.
And ask you.
I'm leaving.
Did you bring your harmonica at least?
No, I forgot it. I just said to him.
Now you can leave.
I reminded him.
He did.
I said, don't forget your harmonica.
It's in the car.
Keith, I told you last time he was here, he ran through Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Susanna.
Oh, Susanna.
Hymn of the Republic.
I missed that treat. He could recite about 20 different episodes of The Honeymooners if you choose.
I could do all 39.
All right. I could do all six seasons of Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah. See?
Oh, I love Hogan's Heroes.
See what you got? Okay, we should come back again, like next week. Hey, Greller?
You haven't said anything yet today.
Okay, well. I'd like to make a shout out to all the parking people over at the Pigs, the guys that
wear the
orange
shirts. Working extra hard because you're not there.
That's exactly, well,
you're supposed to be parking cars. You're out there on a Barco lounger yelling at people and telling stories all the time.
I do not.
All right.
Those were us.
But anyway, I'd like to say hello to them, the guys at the orange shirts.
Okay. They're right now.
They paid me $20 to say that.
I'm glad you did. All right, let's quickly go to the Blue Mountain League standings here. We'll take a look at it because I want to ask you about some of the teams. It's been a great year once again. Unlike the last couple years where you had just about everyone in the playoff hunt, you have seven or eight really good teams this year. And I think what's been most interesting about the matchup of these teams is the way they've approached putting these teams together. In the old days, it used to be you have six, seven steady guys that are there every day. You get a couple good pitchers, a couple utility guys, and a couple relievers. And then you mix in some younger players. But you look at the rosters of the Steel and the Orioles and so many other teams, there are a lot of youth. There's a lot of younger players. The Steel have almost an entire college team. And then you have a team like the Royals that has some legends, people that have been around forever. But even Bob Zerfoss has worked in some younger players, too, and worked in some college players, too. So it's kind of an interesting rundown when you look at the top eight teams because you have teams that have been put together in slightly different ways from each other. Bob, we'll start with you.
I think it begins with, over time, things change. Mm-hmm. And I think we're at one of those crossroads with different teams. The league in itself is getting younger. Mm-hmm. So, and the way they're putting the teams together, back when I played and when Tim played, you were there for all 36 games or 32 games or 30 games, whatever you played. Now the commitment level is there, but only at probably two-thirds of those games. Mm-hmm. So you need to carry those 27 people on a roster, and then also you get younger. Mm-hmm. Because as people start to have children, they don't continue. Work commitments.
Travel.
It used to be a 7 to 3:30 factory job, kind of like in this area, and now we're all business where it's like 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So I think times have changed.
Some of your players have traveled all over the country too this summer too, and then they fly back and they try to get there from airports and try to make a 6 o'clock game sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of it too with being younger, they want to be seen to go off and play college ball, or they're playing college ball and they want to be seen at local camps or some, you know, if they want to be drafted or they're looking to get drafted. So, yes, they're making a lot of commitments, doing a lot of different things, and traveling a lot of distance to get here.
Tip, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, when I look at it, I mean, the Creekers and the Royals are in the top two positions, and I know there's not much margin there between them, and then you got the Bulls, the Orioles, the Yankees, but, you know, those two teams, Eric Schmidt has been there a long time with Martins Creek. He's run a class program. Bob Zerfoss, his program at with Hellertown speaks for itself. And I think, you know, even though we've had this change, we've had some new teams. The Tri-County, too, have come in and really been a great addition, in my opinion. They've had two of the best series, and I've covered a lot of Blue Mountain League series going back to the early 80s. I think those last two Game 5 battles that they had and with the Bulls and the Yankees have been phenomenal. But yet you look at the class is still class, and we still see Eric Schmidt and the Creekers on top. We see Bob Zerfoss and the Royals a half game out, and we see David Stout, who was picked up from our long-lost friend Punkin Miller and has run a good program and a class operation with the now the Iron Financial Orioles. They're there too. And I still think it comes down to great organization and good guys running the show who surround themselves with good people. And they know, look, they have adapted with the times. The days, and I used to have this argument all the time with Punkin, because we did, and Chris used to be the producer for many years. Punkin would say, I can't believe the kids today. They don't want to play 40 games. Well, I'm like saying, Punkin, because many of them married and their wives, and they're both working. And we had that battle. And Punkin was married to the game of baseball. Bob Zerfoss, married to the game of baseball. But the good guys have learned, and Punkin even toward the end adapted. And he knew he couldn't maybe get 20 guys there for 36 games or 40 games. So the good guys now know they get that core, and then you have that depth that can fill in on a night when maybe somebody is on vacation. I think Zerfoss has adapted. Eric Schmidt got it a long time ago. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, Eric was one of the first people, I think, that adapted to that. Where he ended up getting a core nine or 12 guys. He would get nine positional players. He would get three core pitchers, and then he would build off of those 12, and he got that very early in the process. Yeah. And Bob Zerfoss has picked up on it over the last couple of years because his roster went from being older to getting a little younger, so he picked up on it. And I think David Stout did a tremendous job of actually following Eric's kind of lead, if you want to say that, and he totally adapted to that situation, because if you look at Dave's roster, David's totally young with 4 to 6 year players, and just they run such a great organization up there, and he's got from 21 to 27, I think he's the oldest guy.
What I also like about David,
he's the oldest guy
too, is that they've always been kind of Whitehall-ish over the years. I mean, I go up and see Whitehall people and I love that park, you know, and you guys love that park too. Egypt Memorial is a special place, especially when the stand's going and I can get a couple of hot dogs. But anyway, I always see Whitehall people there. And I like the fact that they have this, like, rapport, this relationship with Whitehall High School. Sean O'Boyle now, who's the high school coach, he's Iron Financial. I like that. I wish we had a little bit more of that. Because I think it's neat to see guys that, you know, are from like the same town getting to, it's easier to do, I know that, over in the men's senior league. And they just wrote about a Northampton team that has the guys that for a couple generations there, they're still playing ball together like they did when they were kids. But I like to see more. I think it can be done on the Blue Mountain League, and I like to see some of that flavor. And I know it's not easy to do, it's difficult to do, but I like that how Stouty and the Orioles are doing it.
David, I think, has done a really good job this year, especially because he lost about five players, and he had to fill the gap. So, like, getting back to David Stout, he did a good job, or he's doing a good job. But going back to the Creek with Eric Schmidt, I think Eric Schmidt was under the radar for a long time this year, and now he's number one. And the same with Hellertown. Hellertown was under the radar, and now they're
up in second place.
Yeah, they're in, and they won, I think, 7 or 8 games in a row. And they came from maybe sixth to second. And on the other hand, Northern Yankees, they started off the season, they were 8-0. Yeah. And they've gone
They were half a game out of first 2 weeks ago when we saw them on
Tuesday. They're four, five, and one in the last.
They were scoring runs and nobody was scoring against them. They were that good, and I mean they're still good, but you know there are other teams that have kind of run through. And Berlinsville is another team.
Well, after being down for so many years, it's nice to see them playing well. Right now they're in the playoffs.
The playoffs would start tomorrow.
Yeah, three-game lead over to Steele for that last spot, right?
And the Steele, there's another, and like we were talking before, they had a kid throw a no-hitter on Monday. Well, it was Monday, right?
Yeah, Caraway.
And that, you know, so for a team to come in the first year in the league, I think they're 9-13 now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they started off the year slow for the first 3 weeks, but. As they pointed out when we saw them on Tuesday, they had all college kids, and they had five kids in the World Series. So they didn't have their whole team together until
June.
They're
real young. Yeah. But,
Timmy, the eye-popping number, we talked about it, because we always talk, we have a long conversation.
I can't believe that.
Some of it's baseball, but a lot of it's other malarkey. But anyway.
Malarkey. We have a word that we don't use much. Did you?
I'm going to throw that out.
Malarkey.
Old school word. But no, we talked about it.
I think that's one of the seven words you can't say.
The Royals pitching. And when you look, and I know these viewers can't see the stats that we have in front of us. But 64 runs allowed in 25 games. I'm not a mathematician, but I know that's under three per game. That's pretty darn good. Well, and that's the cornerstone of the Royals' success. I mean, that's the next closest team is the Lineport Bulls, and they've given up 73 runs in 23 games.
Yeah.
The Royals' pitching is going to make them a very, very tough team to beat in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Okay, they have a guy. They picked up a guy. I think it was they picked him up for the first time last year. His last name is DiPerno. And he didn't lose a game yet. I think he's 5-0. And Colin Gotson, who's a local kid, he's undefeated. I think he has 6 wins. So those are two good pitchers. And they're, you know, like we said the one time, they're really deep with their staff. Mm-hmm. They have a nice bunch of players. But so does the Creek. They have C.J. Severi, who's been the MVP, I think, the last 2 years of the regular season.
Yeah.
And they picked up another...
Matt Smith.
Down there. Yeah. Smith. So, you know, he, like you said about Schmidt, who also does the website, and he does a good job, he's a real good league guy. He worries about the league a lot, and it shows. And, you know, Martin's Creek is Martin's Creek. They've been around. They're the
oldest franchise.
Yeah, the oldest franchise in the league. And I guess, what is it, 72 years? Something over, it's over 70 years.
72,
I think. Omar Pacioli's been in it for 62.
Yeah, but, you know, it's good to see that Berlinsville might have a shot, and if things, well, the weather really is uncooperating. It's not cooperating today. It doesn't sound like it's going to cooperate tomorrow. And the regular season ends on the 25th of July. And Bob, we're supposed to start the playoffs, what, the
27th?
Yeah, the Thursday. 27th. That's, what, 2 weeks? That's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a lot that can happen yet. But, you know, the teams at the top want to get a bye. I mean, the Volpes are another team, and they're sort of like sneaking up, if you can say that. And so it's good to see that there's still some playoff implications to a lot of these games. I wrote some of the games down that are coming up.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to tease that because we have a graphic. We're going to bring that up in our next segment, too. You can run them off and talk about malarkey and do whatever you want here in the next segment. We've got to go to a break here.
Today,
we're going to a break. Bob, you're the president. Take control here. All right, our special guest, Dick Fisher and Bob Varyu from the Blue Mountain League, joining Keith Groller and myself. We're going to talk about the Blue Mountain League in our next segment, plus some general baseball topics coming up a little later on. And for our last segment, we're going to be joined by Markel Fultz's high school basketball coach, Mike Jones, all coming up straight ahead. But right now, it's time for our trivia question and allow you a chance to win tonight's special prize. Deals with the All-Star Game. We're going to talk about the All-Star Game in a little bit coming up. But as far as last year's MVP, who was it in the Blue Mountain League, in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game? Not the Blue Mountain League All-Star Game. 2016 Major League Baseball All-Star Game MVP. Callers get priority. You can email us as well, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Philadelphia Phillies have reached the All-Star break, but manager Pete McCannon is indicating reason for optimism coming up for the second half, thanks largely to the team's starting pitching in the final weeks before their All-Star break. We had a chance to talk with McCannon about Jared Eichhoff, Aaron Nola, and some of the other bright spots among the young Phillies pitching prospects.
For the whole month of June, our starting pitchers have been so much better than they were earlier, and they've been giving me innings to make it easier for me to use the bullpen the way I'd like to. And Pavetta, Lively, Nola, they've all been doing a great job. Hellickson is Hellickson. We know what to expect from him. And it's been good to see these guys. They're going after the hitters, and they're being aggressive. Well, I'm looking for him to continue to be aggressive. He's a blue collar type guy. He attacks the hitters. He has no fear on the mound. He's very aggressive and he throws strikes. You know, his secondary stuff is not the greatest. He's working on improving on that. But I think he's got a lot of deception, and he attacks the strike zone. So I expect a good performance every night from my guys. Really economical with his pitches. He's healthy. If he's healthy and ready to go, I'd like to see him give us at least six innings if he can. I think he's capable of doing that, and he feels good. No more residual effects from the back situation. So if he's healthy, he's going to pitch, and I hope he pitches well.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Bob Varyu, Tim Fischer from the Blue Mountain League, Blue Mountain League president, Blue Mountain League statistician, PR man, historian, Tim Fischer, joining Keith Groh and myself. Do you want to say what you were just saying right before we came back? No.
Oh, about the schedule?
No, you were going to say there's secret things about Keith no one knows about. And then that's right when I got my cue.
I can't say anything because a slip of the lip will sink your ship, and we aren't sinking any.
All right, well, we'll save that for the next
segment. But we know a lot more than
you
think.
I was just going to say something nice about him. Forget it. Forget it.
No, all right. Kay Grueller, that was something nice.
Oh, okay.
About you.
Oh, yeah.
Let's quickly move ahead and look at the upcoming games in the Blue Mountain League. Several, a lot of big games, actually, the last 10 days or so. Tim, you have your list there, so I'll let you run these off and just add that the Orioles-Bulls game, which is going to be a huge game next Tuesday, will be the RCN game of the week. So tune in for that. Tim, what are your thoughts on some of the big games coming up?
Well, Volpe's and the Steel play tomorrow, so that's a big game for the Steel. The Steel has to – they have to win that game. And then on the weekend, the Steel plays Berlinsville, which is – like almost like a knockout, but I think they play them Saturday and Sunday.
And Sunday, yeah.
They play back-to-back. So that could be – those are huge. And I only went from today up through Sunday. Now, today's games, I'm sure, were all wiped out. The best game of the today would have been Volpe's and the Northern Yankees. They would have played tonight, but
– they were rained out.
The whole league got rained out.
Yeah, the whole league.
So now that's what it is. He's the umpire assigner, too. You know that, right?
There's great umpires, too, in that league, too.
Yeah.
You don't have to just say that.
That's like an overboard on that.
Settle down.
All right, they missed one call the other night.
Okay, but anyway.
Only one?
That's a mess. Right? Tell them.
Yeah. Well, you have 30 games to schedule between I'm basically assigning 300 games a year. Yeah. And then with the rain and trying to, at the end of July 25th, on that Tuesday, the league's over, so start the playoffs, and so you have to get the games in. So these rainouts that we have today are already scheduled for Sunday and Wednesday of next week.
Yeah.
And you get crunched at the back end because with so many young players and college players, they're going back to school around August 15th. So if you're in the two-round playoffs and you're in those championship games, you're kind of under the gun to try to get those games in if you have one of those teams that have a lot of younger college players.
You know, here's a tidbit about Berlinsville that I wanted to make sure you were.
Go right ahead.
Say whatever you want to say.
They've been involved
it's
in
your show,
14 one-run games this year. That's a lot. Yeah. I mean,
we had one the other night on RCN.
And Northampton, who's I can't figure them out this year. They've had two really good players that are having really good seasons. Nate Kester and Cody Kramer, and Ed Weiler's. You know, he's been around managing the Giants for a while. It looks like they're going to be out of the playoffs. So, you know, but they do. They've had those two kids are really having great years. And Whitmore is another kid that is a pitcher over there, and he pitched over 51 innings already. So, you know, I hate to see Northampton out of it because he does run a good show, I think, over there. But, you know, it's up to the Steel in Berlinsville. And Berlinsville, I don't know when they've been in the playoffs. Do you?
Berlinsville?
I don't think they've ever been in the playoffs.
They've never been in the playoffs since their existence.
It'd be nice to have for them up in Berlinsville on Breifogle Park.
Well, it's neat to get another area in the mix. I mean, I was excited a couple years ago. I think it was 14 we had Laurie Station.
Yeah. The Hawks.
The Blue Mountain Hawks. And I thought, wow, this is great. Get a new blood in here, a new community kind of involved. Yeah. And then they made a playoff appearance, and I covered, a game or two in that series. Then they folded up, and I was disappointed. I like to see different communities because, look, and I'm going to use part of my Grueller's Grumblings on this. It's a great league, and I like to see more communities have these teams. I mean, I know sites, venues are a little tough to come by these days good venues. Yeah. But I'd like to see more towns, more communities represented in this league. I really would.
They were a fun team, and they were another team that was young. They were real young.
So I think every team has a community, you know, the ballpark has a community that surrounds it and supports it. You know, you have the Lineport Stadium, you know, which is historical since 19-something.
Yeah.
What was that, 39, 33?
When was that? When did that?
In the 30s.
In the
30s, right?
33.
Yeah. Herman Munster.
If I can remember, Herman Munster. Well,
I'm going to have to hit the ball out the center.
But you have Martins Creek in the community of Martins Creek. Yeah. You got Egypt, which is a beautiful ballpark, and all the money they put into
Dimmick Park.
Dimmick Park in the middle of Heller Town community, up the street from Frankie V's.
Yeah. And Zerfstel is the one out there dragging the infield and doing a great job getting that field in good
shape. So, I mean, there is communities. Yeah. What you're starting to see come back is they're starting to pull the community ball players. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to get a lot of
that. That's what I like.
Which
about
is
what's
great
going
about,
on with Egypt
right.
and Wino. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
If they start pulling from their own community ball, you know, for the ball players, I think it's even going to, because it's good baseball. People don't understand how good baseball is in Blue Mountain. Like, you know.
And the amount of time that you put into, as far as all the managers should get a tip of the hat tonight on the show as well, because it's just phenomenal the amount of hours that they have to put together, not just during the regular season, but to organize it, to get the baseballs and, you know, to come up with cash. It's hard.
And I think it's nice, too, because if you're a casual fan or if you're new to the area, the makeup of the teams is very interesting. So if you're a team that really likes pitching, the Royals. I mean, Bob Zerfus has gone on to a tried-and-true formula. When he won back-to-back-to-back champions, he had great starting pitching. Mm. The Creekers have been steady. You mentioned Eric Schmidt. I don't think there's been a more consistent team since he has taken over the program.
Yeah, such a nice team.
Yeah, they're always among the best teams every year. Yeah. And balance, too.
Yeah.
You look at the Bulls. They have a lot of young athletic players. They purposely tried to get athletic people that can play multiple positions, not specifically looking at one position or looking to go here, and here, but just guys who can play well all over the place. So all the teams are made up differently, too, and have different dynamics.
And, Keith, you covered the league when did you start? 1970?
Early 80s.
I mean, and you're still – so you're a good –
Well, that's what I was going to say. I believe, and I don't want to – look, Tim Fisher and I, when you introduce him, as he mentioned, you know, Art Carney impersonator and historian.
Harmonica player.
All these other things. Harmonica player.
Calm down.
But he truly truly is one of the greatest players in this league's history. Absolutely. A phenomenal, phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal player, great home run hitter. I want to make sure we put it out there that we kid around.
A couple
around
years ago, he was an answer to a trivia question, as a matter of fact. Yeah. One of the first time.
But was it the first basket scored at Kutztown's Keystone Hall?
No, won that one.
All right, I want to ask.
He did
that
tell
one.
Me about playing against the Matha though. If you
before
the show,
really? But okay. But I just want to say this real quick. I've been covering it since '80. I think I came in with that Allentown dynasty.
Yeah.
'81 to '85.
Yeah.
And that four in a row they won.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it then. That's why there was a kind of a love affair born between me and the league, because I didn't really follow it in high school or nothing. But when I started at the Morning Call, mm-hmm. Puck and Miller got me involved, and I started going out to the games, and I really loved it. But I have to say that I believe the brand of baseball, because of the wooden bats, it was just slugging. Yeah. It was a lot of slugging back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Timmy Fisher could hit home runs with a toothpick. He was that good. But the wooden bat, which put more emphasis on pitching and defense and not just out slugging. They were like slow pitch softball scores a lot of times.
There were so many good players back then.
Yeah.
I mean, they were great players.
I think the hitters outnumbered the pitcher.
They did.
But right now, I think is a great. If you appreciate all facets of the game, if you appreciate defense, you appreciate good pitching. Mm-hmm. If you appreciate small ball, which I always have. Bunting runners over, executing hit and runs and that kind of stuff. This is as good as it gets right now. I love the league right now. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to ask you guys to make your predictions for the end of the regular season. And Tim has a streak going. You have, I don't know how many years you've done this on this show. You've come in and you've predicted who's going to be in the finals every year. So,
all right, well, who do you think is going to be in the finals?
I don't matter. You're the one that has this, like, 4 or 5 years in a row, you've accurately predicted the exact two teams that were in the finals.
Because he knows.
He does?
I think so.
No.
He's in basketball mode, too.
He is.
All right, well, we're
two hats
Mount
tonight.
Rushmore.
You were going to add something to that. Who else would be on your Mount Rushmore, by the way?
I wasn't going to add anybody else.
Don't go there?
He's on the Mount Rushmore of writers of all the Lehigh Valley.
I would agree with that.
I appreciate that, Timmy. You're on there as
and I mean
a great ball player.
I
mean it, too.
You know that.
I mean it, too. I go back. We talk about the current era of great players. But, I mean, my gosh, people like him. A guy I said hello to tonight, Andy Donatelli. Yeah. Just phenomenal. David Hemmerly. Those games between Allentown and Hellertown and Punkin's those are the big three.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just unbelievable, good, entertaining, fun baseball. It would last 3 hours, but they were a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was.
But that was my introduction into the BML back in the early 80s. Yeah.
That's when you started, 80.
Yep. 81.
Jesus. All right, don't forget, we still have that trivia question out there you can try to get in on. Who was the 2016 Major League Baseball All-Star Game MVP? So if you remember back to last year, who won the All-Star MVP Award, you can either give us a call or email the answer to us at RCN Sports Talk at RCN.com.
Shall we give the initials?
No, not yet. By the way, you have to clam down here because this is the most important part of the show. It's called Roller's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and speaks about whatever he wants to talk about, including ripping Allentown if he wants to. But, Tim, you're not allowed to interrupt him here.
Right,
so, Keith, step up here.
Toast to Keith.
Okay, well, speaking of Allentown, it looked like they had a loud, noisy, crazy meeting there Tuesday night, but at least cooler heads prevailed. They are going to put their rims back, and they're going to lock them up. Or I don't know how they do that, but they're going to lock them up at 9 o'clock. So that was resolved. Thankfully, that basketball can continue at the hub of the East Side. But I really wanted to talk about the Blue Mountain League. And, you know, as you guys know, you give me an opportunity to speak at the banquet every year, and I mean it. I really hope people realize, look, there's a lot of good stuff out there, a lot of entertainment options. The Sands is here now, PPL Center's here, Coca-Cola Park. We got all kind of stuff happening all the time. But sometimes the best pleasures are the simpler pleasures, and for a baseball guy, nothing better than going out to Egypt Memorial Park on a July night, Dimmick Park in Hellertown on a August night. Just wonderful baseball, wonderful venues, and I really do think it's still like a kind of forgotten about or underappreciated gem, this Blue Mountain League. I mean, the guys, as Punkin Miller said so many times in so many of my stories, they play for the love of the game. Yeah, you could go over to Coca-Cola Park, have a lot of fun over there, spend a lot of money, buy your hot dogs, watch the mascots race around the field, all the bells and the whistles. That's good stuff. I take my grandson over there now, and I enjoy it. But at some point when he's ready, and he's just and he's a big baseball guy now, when I just want to show him the game of baseball as it should be played, I'm going to take him to a Blue Mountain League game. And I really, you wonder why we're devoting a show to this tonight, why RCN televises Blue Mountain League games every week. This is why. It is a wonderful thing going on here in the Lehigh Valley. It's been going on for a long, long time, and I hope it continues for a long time. And speaking of people who care about the Blue Mountain League, I want to do a shout-out. I don't know if he has RCN, but hopefully the word will get out to our good friend, the guy who really cares about the scores, or really cares about getting the schedules right, the great Roger Pence, who is ailing. He's been in and out of the hospital now, you know, several times in the last 4 weeks. He's my radio show partner, and we miss him dearly, not only in the radio show, but he is the guy who cares about the Blue Mountain League, the ACBL, all these things that maybe another writer would not care about. Roger cares about. Speedy recovery to our good friend Roger Pence.
All right, well said, too. We're actually going to have an announcement about RCN personnel and our staff coming up on next week's show, so we'll tease you with that and tell you more about that next week. But right now, we are going to tell you about our last Buffalo Wild Wings show of the summer that will be coming up in 2 weeks from tonight. Keith and I will be at Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall for the Caddy Tournament of Champions. We're going to have a show reflecting back on the last 28 years of the Caddy Tournament of Champions and also preview this year's event, which will be broadcast on RCN TV. Well, the championship game coming up 2 weeks from that show, but 2 weeks from tonight, it's our show from Buffalo Wild Wings, RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, broadcasting live from the patio at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on out there. You can talk about caddy basketball, either high school basketball, or if you've participated in the past, we're going to have some of the coaches and teams that will be participating in this year's event. So that is 2 weeks from tonight, July 27th. Come on out there, order some food, and your money raised will go to a local charity, too. So go to rcn.com/rcntv. Find your way to the Buffalo Wild Wings page, click on that, and there's more information on how you can eat, have some great food, have some fun, and also donate to a local charity. More of tonight's Sports Talk show straight ahead. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Mike Jones will be coming up in just a few minutes, head coach at DeMatha High School, and also former head coach of Markelle Fultz, number one draft pick of the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now, this segment, we're joined once again by Bob Varyu, BML president, Tim Fisher, Blue Mountain League statistician, PR man, and historian. And we're going to talk a little roundtable topics, including some baseball. Now, the roundtable is a variety of local, national, and regional topics of a whole different variety. Try to mix it up a little bit, talk about some different topics. I'm looking for some entertaining exchanges of thoughts and opinions. As always, you can weigh in via social media if you have a comment or question as well. All right, topic number one tonight, mentioned the All-Star Game. That's our trivia question out there, looking for last year's MVP. Did you guys enjoy this year's All-Star Game festivities, the game itself, the home run competition, and so forth? Bob, we'll start with you. Did you enjoy the All-Star Game?
I didn't see any of it. I was working at another job, and I did between umpiring and where I was.
You could have put the headphones on and listened to it while you were umpire.
I didn't get to see the home run derby contest, which they said Judge was phenomenal, hitting like 500-foot home runs. And I just didn't get to see it.
All right.
So not a good answer from me.
Tim, a lifelong baseball guy.
A good choice there, King. No, King Groner. I almost called him King Groner.
By the way, someone called and emailed. Should I say who called you, Jeff?
No.
All right, we'll say
he just won't get a shout out on Sunday morning. That's
someone,
all.
Someone just emailed and said, "Ask Jeff a question." All right. We think it's for Keith.
There you go.
Get your harmonica out.
All right, I don't have it. All right, so as far as the All-Star Game,
yes,
home run derby, that was the home run derby that I enjoyed the T-H-E-E-E the most that I ever saw, and
cool.
I like the new format. I don't know if they had juiced baseballs, the way the home runs are flying out of there, but I like the whole format for that. All of those guys are so good. They were so good. So I enjoyed the home run derby more than the All-Star game. Although that thing where they were doing, when they were interviewing people, where they had the mic out in the outfield,
I think we should do that for the BML, actually. We can do that on our Game of the Week on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Interview people.
Are you done?
I'm sorry. I'm stepping on your toes on your show. Go ahead.
Anyway,
you're right.
But I like that. I thought that was different. Now, whether or not that's going to keep up, I don't know. Yeah. But I didn't think I'd like that. But the Home Run Derby, I thought it's going to be a hard act to follow. And I think next year, where's it? Washington?
I think it is
Washington, D.C.? Yeah. I think so. But, I hope they keep the Home Run Derby the format. And those guys, they're all of them are so good. I mean, and like the guy from the Dodgers, the lefty, he's young. And he put on a show. But the guy that Aaron Judge beat in the finals, what was his name, Sano?
Yeah, I know he's
from Miami.
The finals. Yeah, I think so.
I thought maybe he would upset Aaron Judge with Jesus. It's like Bob said, the one ball that he hit was 513 feet.
Right?
513 feet. That's incredible. All right, Kate Greller, what do you think?
Well, I disagree with. I don't like the cheesiness of it. I didn't watch a lot of it. I have to be honest with you. I have other things going, and that's a shame because there was a time that I would not miss a pitch. Mm-hmm. I would not miss any part of the All-Star game, and now it's like, it's on. I might check in to see the American League's winning again, and they usually win. And I think interleague play has taken away a lot. It used to be when I was a kid, it was the only time you'd see, a Johnny Bench and Lou Brock and Bob Gibson and Hank Aaron and Willie Mays going against the Reggie Jackson and Mickey Mantle and so forth. And I think it's lost a lot of luster. I don't like Tom Verducci, all I saw was, and I was up at our friend Chuck France's, he had this Yankee fan club and he had Yogi Berra's son there that night, so I went up there. And I'm watching Tom Verducci, the first batter of the game, was it Blackman or whatever? No, it wasn't Blackman. But somebody was coming up to bat and Verducci's in the on-deck circle. And I'm thinking, don't turn this into like the NBA All-Star game, which is a complete farce, a complete joke. I don't like the gimmicks. I like real. I'm sounding like my man, Pumpkin Miller.
Yeah.
Give me back purity. Give me back competition. Don't give me gimmicks.
It's funny how the cycle of life repeats
itself. It does. Yeah. You're right. It does.
All right, topic number two. People may not have heard about this. 76ers, after playing 4 years of the worst basketball known to man, now that they're good, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, they are charging people, I think it's either $76 or $100-something dollars, not to get a ticket, not to get naming rights to a seat, not to get a parking spot. $76 just to get on a waiting list to have the chance to get season tickets. Keith, what do you think about this? This seems like they're going. I mean, I remember when the Eagles had you had to pay for the fee for your chair after you already bought the tickets. But now they're charging you to get on a list to get a ticket.
That's ridiculous, and they're gouging. I mean, this is a team. They're lucky they're in existence. Yeah. I mean, they were awful for 4 or 5 years. I did not like the process. I know maybe it's going to work out in the championship, and then the process will be worth it. But they're fortunate right now to even have a franchise because nobody cared about them. Nobody was going to the games. So I would think they'd welcome back the fans with every red carpet possible. And this, what you're telling me, is not a good start.
Yeah. Bob has a good opinion about that. Go ahead.
We had... Over the last 4 years, when the process began, or if not longer, my son and I always went to at least 2 or 3 games a year. And he went down more because he's in college and that's what they do, spend my money. But, now all of a sudden, he's out. He was your average fan that kept the Sixers going during that time. And he's out because he's not going to be able to afford a ticket to get into place. Between everything and
isn't it a shame that the people who stayed with the team through, I mean, ridiculousness, really. I mean, and they were irrelevant for 4 or 5 years, and now they might be shut out.
Yeah, and they won't be able to get. There's 3 kids from that I coach basketball in our local community that go to Temple, and they went religiously to probably 20, 25 games. They can't get a ticket. They're out.
Tim, I guess you agree?
Well, I don't know if it's illegal, but they would not get a dime back, right? Is it? Because don't they do the same thing for NCAA basketball for the Final Four? Don't you have to?
I think you get the money back.
Get the money back.
I think
there.
That you go in for, like, for a lottery, though.
Yeah,
I mean, at least you get a chance to get a ticket then.
But
this is just to get on the list to get there.
Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah. I don't like that.
All right, real quick, Tim, I want to get your thoughts. Who's going to be in the final this year before we let you go?
Who's going to be in
the
final?
Two teams, guaranteed.
Hellertown will be in it.
Hellertown.
And I would say...
Hurry up, or I'm going to play your harmonica
soon. Okay. I'm going to send a Creek.
Creekers, all right. Creekers and Hellertown.
I got to go Hellertown Bulls. Hellertown Bulls, I think we're going to have the... the Bulls making one last stand against the very fine Hellertown Royal pitching staff.
Yeah. All right. So I agree with Keith.
You agree with Keith. Oh, upsetting it. Not listening to
Tim. Let me change my mind.
Tim Fisher, Bob Barhew from the Blue Mountain League. Make sure you check out the last 2 weeks of the regular season. The playoffs coming up starting 2 weeks from tonight. And, of course, the game on the week on Tuesday nights on RCN. Mike Jones on the other side of this timeout. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, Keith Groller and Chris Michael. And we're joined on the phone lines by Mike Jones, head coach at the powerhouse DeMatha High School basketball team. Coach Jones, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Talk once again tonight.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Hi, Mike. I know you're busy right now with your summer camp, so we appreciate some time. First of all, how's your summer camps going? I know you're very busy this time of year. How's it going?
It's going well. Every session has been full to capacity, probably a little bit more. So that's a good thing in the summer. Kids are having a good time, and we've had a couple guys come through to speak to them. So it's been good.
Mike, I know you're probably used to this question after having so many great players come through your program and then get drafted in the NBA. But obviously, Markelle Fultz, a little special, drafted number one by the 76ers. He was a pretty unique player at DeMatha and had a great career there. Not your typical career in that he started late, got cut his 10th grade year, but obviously his junior and senior years were pretty special, and he's gone on to some much greater heights too. So tell us a little bit about Markelle during his experience in high school at DeMatha.
Well, first of all, he's a great young on the court and in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Definitely pale in comparison to just the type of young man he is. His mom and grandmother and sister and just his tight-knit circle has done a great job just raising him. As a basketball player, I mean, he's tremendous. It's the story everybody knows. He only played varsity for 2 years at DeMatha, but mm-hmm. if you would compare his 2 years on our varsity team with all the other DeMatha greats, I don't know if anyone ever had a better two-year stretch than he did. And, his work ethic, his passion for the game, his versatility, his ability to play multiple different positions, and just the fact that he was so impactful in terms of helping other guys raise the level of their game. That's the kind of player he is. He worked his rear end off in the classroom to be the best student he can be. Mm-hmm. I think just the attribute that I'm most impressed with about Markelle is just, his work ethic.
Coach Jones, just your thoughts on how close was he to the program even as he became a college player? Did he stay in touch with you? Did he come back? Was he a part of the scene at DeMatha even as he forged an outstanding college career?
He stayed in contact with his teammates, definitely. The ones that were in college, obviously, but, he has, he calls them his little brothers. He had, a couple of guys that were still on our team this past season that he had played with, that he stayed in constant contact with, and every now and then, sending an encouraging message that a big brother would do. He did a great job staying in contact with them. As far as myself and the other coaches, we kind of know the deal. Like, he went away to college, and we check up on him, but we try not to be so like in their face all the time. So, and I'm sure they appreciate that. They got their parents checking up on them and things like that. But, he'd get a message from us every now and then just to check in with him, see how he was doing. One of our coaches went out to see him, one of their games that they played this year way out in Seattle. And one of his favorite teachers at DeMatha also went out to see him out there. So he definitely stayed connected to the DeMatha community.
It looks like he's going to be ready to come right in, start right away as an NBA player and contribute to what seems to be a building, very good building team there in Philadelphia. Will he have the composure and the poise to handle the ups and downs? And what I mean, the press, I mean, it's a different deal than when you're playing on the other coast in the Pac-12. Philadelphia, very demanding town. They, especially when you're the number one pick in the draft, there's going to be an expectation level there. Will he be able to handle the ups and downs and, you know, maybe taking a little criticism from the press or the fan base?
I think the best thing that I can answer that question with is anytime Markell is criticized or anytime Markell is told he can't do something, that just fuels him to prove you wrong. So I don't think he's going to have any problem. First of all, I think the Philadelphia community, you guys are going to embrace him just because of the type of young man he is. But, you know, just like other areas that have rabid fan bases, and you guys are definitely up there, y'all want to win. Y'all want a winner on the court, and I definitely believe that Markell's impact will help y'all do that sooner rather than later. The times that it gets rough, you're talking about a kid who's, you know, everything hasn't been easy for him his whole life. Things haven't been given to him. So, you know, I think those days are behind him. But when things get rough, it won't be the first time he's going through that. So I think he'll handle that just as well as he's handled anything, again, because that's the way he was raised.
We're speaking with Mike Jones, head basketball coach at DeMatha High School, former head coach of Markelle Fultz. I think one of the many great attributes of the Sixers selecting Markelle is that it looks like he's going to start off as a two-guard, a shooting guard, playing a little bit off the ball. But Ben Simmons is going to be their point guard. He's never really done that, certainly not at this level, after missing all of last year. So how comfortable would you be if Markelle has to handle the ball or they have to run the offense through him? Do you think he can make that adjustment?
Absolutely, and I do. I agree with you. The fact that you are going to have two dynamic playmakers in Ben and Markell, and the fact that they both can play with the ball in their hands, mm-hmm. I think that's going to they're going to help each other out. You know, Ben is going to be just such a dominant player because of his height, his strength, and his vision. But then Markell being more of a true guard size, especially in the league, I think they're going to be able to play off each other. But if, you know, for whatever reason, Markell becomes the primary ball handler like 100% of the time, again, he's worked so hard for that moment. He's worked so hard for that responsibility. I don't think he'll have any trouble at all.
Keith kind of asked a question about the determination, which you talked about, but, I mean, you read stories about him getting up at 5 o'clock, working extra hard in the classroom to get his grades up and to improve to move to that next level. As far as all the experiences you saw from getting cut in his 10th grade year, what was the greatest achievement and how much, not only from a mental aspect, but that determination, how much do you think that will help him become not just an NBA player, but hopefully Sixers fans obviously hoping that he becomes one of the next superstars?
Well, I just think just anything that you, when you talk about Markell and his story and how he's overcome and how he's never satisfied and, you know, every summer he would add something to his game. I mean, these are attributes you hear when you're describing some of the best players in the NBA. So the fact that he is in a situation where, you know, he's already doing these things, even at all of these, at the high school level, at the AAU level, at the USA basketball level, the fact that the impact that he had with all of those teams, again, I'm expecting the same type of impact for him in the league. I know it's not going to be easy, but again, Markell is a special kid who has overcome a whole lot of hurdles. And again, I think he's just the type that at any point in time he comes across any obstacle, the level that he works at just raises. And I don't think this will be any different. He's a special young man. Mm-hmm. And I think the Philadelphia community will be really happy to root for him.
Mike, before we let you go, I want to ask about your program, too. I know you had another great year last year, some big wins during the winter. You lose some people, but could you give us a little bit of a preview of what you're looking at for the winter season and how are your players progressing and building during the summer months to get ready for the winter season?
We're going to have the greatest DeMatha High School team ever. Nah, I'm joking.
With you and your record, really it's hard to dispute.
No, we're going to be really young, but and I don't mean that in a bad way. We're going to be really, really, really good. A lot of our youth will have already have varsity-level experience and national-level experience. So I think ultimately, after we kind of work the kinks out in the preseason, I think we have a chance to have a really special year. And the greatest thing about us, the core of our team will be sophomores and juniors, yeah. So we will have those guys for 2 and 3 years. So we have a 7-footer on our team, 7-foot-1 kid on our team that's only going to be a sophomore, and he's not a stiff. I mean, he can really play. You know, his future is incredibly bright, and he, amongst a few other guys we have, are definitely going to be our leaders.
That's great. Well, Coach Jones, thanks so much again for joining us. Continued success with your program, and have fun with your summer camps as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
Mike Jones, the head coach at DeMatha, the head outstanding program there down in the DMV area. Keith, it would be nice to have a 7-1 kid around the Lehigh Valley or eastern Pennsylvania to
We have to import them. I don't think they grow around here.
Yeah.
Not since Aaron Gray.
No.
Not since Aaron Gray. That's
and real quick, before we sign off, you're going to head back to Cedar Beach. You'll be out there most of the weekend. Our cameras will be out there one day. I got 20 seconds. Any big matchups you're looking forward to either tonight or tomorrow?
Well, I just think Reading is going to be there. I think Reading's very good, even though they lost Walker. I think Reading's a team to watch. Constitution from Philadelphia. And I want to see a Central Catholic or somebody emerge from the Lehigh Valley. We didn't get anybody
in the final.
We didn't have a team in the final last time. I hope we get a finalist from the Lehigh Valley this time.
All right. We'll see you next week on RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Good night, everyone.